In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about why pray. For the last few days, we've been talking about reading the Bible, and I've done my best to persuade you that it's a good idea to read the Bible. It is my guidebook, my source of all authority, my light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And most of us are ready to acknowledge that we need all the help we can get. We need all the guidance that we can get in this world where most people's morals and activities are at the mercy of fashion. Fashion changes capriciously and whimsically and continually, and as the scripture says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I've been hoping that you've perhaps gotten some new helps in how to go about reading the Bible, and now I'd like to talk a little bit about why we should pray. Samuel Taylor Coleridge said that the act of praying is the very highest energy of which the human mind is capable. Praying, that is, with the total concentration of the faculties. The great mass of worldly men and of learned men are absolutely incapable of prayer. Well, a quotation like that might discourage 99% of us because we all know that we are not learned particularly, and we're very poor at doing anything with the total concentration of the faculties. So does that mean that we are absolutely incapable of prayer? I think Coleridge was talking about a particular kind of prayer, but I would agree that it is the highest energy of which the human mind is capable. It is the hardest work that I do. People sometimes ask me about my writing, wondering if it's recreation, if I write when I'm inspired or when I feel good about it or feel like it or have a nice quiet place or a long block of free time. And I always tell them that writing is not recreation for me, it's work. But it's not quite the hardest work that I do. The actual writing depends on the thinking, and thinking is harder than the writing. But there's one thing which is a great deal harder than either of those, and that's prayer. So, why pray? Well, if we're going to have communication with God, we have to make it a dialogue, don't we? So we read the Bible in order to allow God to speak to us, to keep from letting the world squeeze us into its own mold, and that's a constant danger. But if we're going to let God speak to us, we have to pray that he will do that. We have to pray for understanding as we read the Bible. We have to pray for the grace to obey what we've read. And then prayer itself is our opportunity to talk to God about whatever we want to talk to him about. So the two things are inseparable, prayer and Bible study. The scripture tells us that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I think that points up the necessity of both Bible reading and prayer. If we read the Bible like any other book without asking the author for his help and his interpretation, it's dead. It's like a dead letter. But if we are bathing our study of the Bible in prayer and carrying on a two-way conversation with God, then we're giving the Spirit the opportunity to enliven, to quicken, to give life to what we read. We have to receive the Word into our hearts and lives. We have to ask God to apply His Word and to help us to understand and to do. And those are all matters for prayer. Now I want to tell you three things in answer to the question, why pray? First of all, prayer is really as natural as swimming to human beings. If you don't believe that, just stop and think, what is your first thought when some huge disaster strikes? Whether it's something that you see on TV, or whether it's something which actually strikes in your own home, what is your first thought? Well, for many people, it's, oh my God. They're not thinking of that as a prayer, particularly. They're not really thinking at all. But I think that's a dead giveaway to the fact that we immediately want to appeal to a higher power. We know that we're in over our heads, that things are beyond us. If we immediately say, oh Lord, get me out of this, that's a prayer, isn't it? It's what you might call an SOS prayer, like Peter's when he was trying to walk on the water and got distracted by the wind and the waves and began to sink. Well, he didn't start out with an, oh, almighty God, Father of heaven and earth, have mercy upon me and save me. No, he just said, Lord, save me. And that's a very natural human response, human need, human wants. Even in such a silly thing as one of those TV games, which I never watch, but occasionally in flipping the dials, I've seen a few seconds of one of those, and somebody who's hoping for a particular number to come up on that wheel stands there with raised eyes and clasped hands. Is that just a joke? Well, I think that reveals something very deep. They're appealing to somebody beyond just the people that are running the game show to help them to get the number that they need. It's a simple recognition of our need of supernatural help. That's what prayer is about. And yet, many people deny the need for prayer, perhaps out of pride. Perhaps they say, well, I'm not superstitious. I'm grown up. I'm not religious, etc., etc. Well, as I was preparing these talks on prayer, I had a hard time. I'm going to let you in on the way in which this very talk hit me between the eyes. It was a very bitter, cold winter day. I have a very quiet, sunny, warm study to work in. Ideal situation. Isolation. Nobody else was in the house. The phone didn't ring much that day. I had time to think, and all I had to do was write two talks on reading the Bible. I had a struggle with those. And then when I tried to write one talk on prayer, I had a terrible struggle. It was as if I had never prayed in my life. I had no idea what in the world I could say to anybody about prayer. And then, of course, the enemy, the adversary, who doesn't like people to pray anyway, came to me with various suggestions. One of them was, and who do you think you are talking about prayer? How much do you do? How much of what you think is prayer is real prayer? How much do you concentrate? Do you realize that you're going to be talking to hundreds, maybe thousands of people out there who know a whole lot more about it than you do? Who do you think you are, in other words? It's too big a subject. And then I said to myself, I'm not really applying myself to this. I can't get organized. I can't narrow down. I can't focus. I can't simplify. And after a long time of sitting there in that nice, quiet, sunny study and pondering and praying and struggling and writing down scattered notes here and there, I put my coat on and went out for a walk in the icy wind, trying to pray as I walked that God would help me, alternating my prayers with self-condemnation for failure to get the job done. Well, I was wasting a lot of time in that, wasn't I? I wasn't really praying. And so then I said to myself, you don't really believe in it. And there was another accusation from the enemy. And then the Lord brought to my mind these wonderful words, that we can find grace to help in time of need. Lord, I said, that's what I need. I need grace. I need your help. This is a time of need. Then he brought to mind words from the book of James. If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. And so I turned that verse into a prayer. Lord, I need wisdom. How am I going to say anything about prayer? Please help me. Give me the wisdom. And then he reminded me of the words from Deuteronomy 31. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. Then as I began comparing myself with the great people who had taught me about prayer, realizing what a great gap there was between my spirituality and theirs, I realized again that I was wasting my time. Jesus was saying, come unto me. And so I acknowledged my helplessness and had to humble myself before the Lord. I told you that I was going to give you three reasons for praying. We've gotten through just exactly one of them. I'll tell you what the other two are, and then we'll talk about them tomorrow. The second reason is that Jesus prayed, and we are to follow him. The third one is, it works.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.